Thank you, Jerry, for their songs. This morning, Gary's going to bring the message this morning. So, Gary, you can come up. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, come to you this morning again, Lord. We come to you with humble hearts. We just thank you for Gary being willing to share this morning. Just pray that you just bless him and his family for letting him study and prepare. Just pray that you just give him clear words and that he would just be able to overcome his throat or whatever wrong there, Lord. Pray that you just bless him for that and just give him grace that he needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
One that spoke out to me the most was that last one. Thank you for the life. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for the way. And I think we can probably just go home now. I mean, after hearing that. But yeah, the other thing I thought of too in that song is we ask God to listen to our hearts. We said that. Listen to our hearts. Do we really want him to listen to our hearts? What's he going to find? So, this morning, if I can find the remote, here. Life with purpose. There's a couple things that I would like to look at this morning, and all of them revolve around this one topic. Life with purpose. And a lot of this comes from three words that have been really churning around in my mind in the last 2 weeks. And the three words do not seem related at all. But the three words are Christmas, community, and modesty. And if you've been attending here the last couple weeks, you probably feel a little bit and understand a little bit where those thoughts and those words came from. So we're going to look at Christmas, then we'll look at community and the kids. During the community part of the message, I'm going to have a story for you, and you're going to come up front, so look forward to that. And then lastly, we're going to look at modesty briefly. So, life with purpose. And I'd like you to review with me a little bit. I don't know if any of you remember a message that I brought a while ago. It was on vision for our lives. And I think through this message, it was made very clear to me again and again and again how this vision and these goals and this purpose that we all individually face is so valuable. So first of all, if you look at these couple points, first of all, I'll start with vision. What is the definition of vision for a Christian? It's a lot of different things, but this is a short version of what I believe vision looks like. It's one's aspiration. A hope of achievement is the definition of aspiration. So one's aspiration with a pictured outcome. All right, that's vision. So then we'll look at purpose and goals. What is a goal? A goal is the point one wishes to achieve, or the action one wishes to achieve is also a possibility to say that. The second part is purpose. The reason one aims to achieve a goal. Purpose is about direction. Our purpose is what motivates our goals. And unlike goals, purpose is broader and much deeper. So please think about these things as we're looking at this thought of life with purpose. And the first part, like I said, we're going to look at Christmas. And I didn't really plan on having something about Christmas, but it was so awesome because I woke up the other morning and I thought of one verse. And it was a verse found in Luke 2, the Christmas story. You know, we've heard it so many times. It's Luke 2:14. And so we'll look at that in just a second. But I ask you a question, first of all. How many of you have ever prayed the prayer, God, speak to me, show me your will, for my life. How many of you? Raise your hands. Anybody? Have you ever prayed that prayer? All right. So I do that. It's something I pray often. And I feel like by looking at this verse in Luke 2, it can give us a very clear picture of God's vision for our life. Okay? So let's look at Luke 2, verse 14. This is the shepherds. The setting is the shepherds. Obviously in the field, the angels are giving them the message. The one angel specifically says, go to Bethlehem. But then the host of angels together sing this phrase. They're literally telling us their purpose. They're telling the shepherds their purpose. And not only are they doing that, but they're saying, this is the purpose of this baby. Does that make sense to you? For me, that spoke very clearly. So they sing this. They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased, with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Like I said, I believe this message through the angels from God to mankind is a window into God's vision for, first of all, his son. And secondly, I believe it's his vision for his adopted children as well. That's us. I believe if we can understand this vision that God had for Jesus in coming to earth, then we can understand his vision for us. So, what was the goal or the mission for Jesus coming to earth? Start there and we'll work down. So goal, first of all, what is his goal for coming to earth? I believe we find that in Luke 4, verse 18. If you turn there with me. So Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to, this is his mission, proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So this is Jesus' mission on earth, to come to earth. All right, so let's look at that last section. The first part, you can see he is showing God's love, and he's pouring it out on these people in all these different ways. The second part is the proclamation of the Lord's favor. I want to look at that for just a second. Look at the proclamation of the Lord's favor. Jesus represents the Lord's favor not only by carrying out the role of a prophet, by proclaiming the good news. So he says he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. But secondly, he also carries out the role of deliverer. He is the one who is to save his people. And like Chris said, that is awesome. I love that story. This was Jesus' role, was to come and to save or deliver his people. He was to be their lawyer. He was to represent. And he did that. He did it beautifully. So that was his mission, okay? So what was Jesus' mission and goal? To represent God's power and love to the people, to us. And secondly, to proclaim and fulfill God's plan of salvation for his people. So that was his mission. And we all know this. This is all review for every single one of us. So we look at the goal, but what was his purpose? This is where I really want us to focus. The goal was for him to come to earth to show God's love and then to fulfill God's plan for salvation for us. But the purpose is different. It all ties in. His purpose was to give or direct glory to God. And that's that first part of that verse in Luke 2:14, is to direct and give glory to God. His life and death directly glorified God. And through this death and his resurrection, we too now have the opportunity to do the same. Because until that point, we could not do that. We didn't even have the right to bring glory to God. It wasn't even an option for us. But now, with Jesus Christ dying and resurrecting, now we have the opportunity to bring glory to God directly because of His sacrifice. So our purpose in life is to do the same, is to give and direct glory to God. So what about the second part? That was the first part, glory to God in the highest. What is the second part? On earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. And I want to ask you a question. Peace among those with whom He is pleased? Are we experiencing peace? Are we? I mean, the reality is, look at your own life, look at my life. Am I experiencing peace and rest? Well, I hope so. But around us, there is no peace. Let's look at Romans 5. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also obtain access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So let's just break that down real quickly. What is the source of peace? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The source of peace is believing we are justified through the work of Christ. That's our source of peace. That's where we find it. The second part, where do we find hope and purpose? Through Him, we have also obtained access to faith into His grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So where we find the hope is in His grace. Where we find purpose is in glorifying God. I'm moving quickly, I know, but I believe we all know this. It's just, do we believe it? If we try to find peace or hope or purpose in anything besides glorifying God, we will fail. I'm talking about performance. Yep, we know that. Stuff. Yep, obvious. We know that. But what about righteousness? What about even loving others? If we try to find our hope and our purpose and peace in that, it will become empty. Good stuff, great goals, zero purpose, unless you do it for the glory of God. Look at Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, this is God's vision for mankind. This is God's vision for us, that we would glorify Him. The second part is community. So we looked at Christmas, looked at the purpose of Christmas, to bring glory to God. And the second part is community. So I would like all the children to come up and sit here on these benches, or maybe even just one bench because we don't have tons of kids here right now. But I'd like to read you a story, and it is about community. I believe this story paints just a beautiful picture of what community looks like, what it should look like. Just put it back on the back bench. Thank you. You guys can sit in the back too. It's fine. You want to sit, Cheyenne, with Ailey? Yeah. So, how many people remember these books? Anybody read these as kids? Have their parents read them? Yeah. All right. I did too. And today we're going to read a story, and the story is called Saved from the Flood. Can you see that up there? Is it really dark? Mm-hmm. Well, it's dark for a reason, because this happened at night. Okay? Are you ready for the story? Okay. Night had fallen. Everybody in the little town was asleep. Everybody.
Here, you know what, Lacey, or Annie, come sit back here.
Want to sit here?
Okay, right here.
Can that work?
Right there. Okay, is that good?
All right, night had fallen. Everyone in the little town had fallen asleep. Everybody, that is, except the policeman, who was keeping his watch all alone in the police station. Nobody dreamed that danger was near. No serious trouble had come to the town in years and years. There was no sign of trouble now, except the level of the water in the river was a little higher than usual. But then the water did often fall and rise without anyone noticing it. Sometimes, especially in the hot, dry summer, the river was merely a little trickle way down at the bottom of the 40-foot-high banks. The night wore on. There was no sound, save the beating of the rain on the roof and the roadways, occasionally a barking of a dog. But suddenly, the telephone rang, loud and sharp, in the police station. Startled a bit, the policeman picked up the receiver. "Hello," he said. The words that came over the phone shocked him. "Flood warning," said the voice. "Lots of water rushing your way. It will reach you in 30 minutes. Get the people out of their houses and low-lying ground. There is no time to lose. Hurry." The flood. A flood in 30 minutes? How little time to warn everybody. How quickly he must work. The policeman sounded the alarm. In an instant, the whole town was alive. A few minutes later, men were hurrying to the houses down by the river, waking the sleeping families and helping them move what they could of their goods to higher ground. There just wasn't time to salvage many things. Some of the people, just roused from sleep, didn't want to move, especially in the middle of the night with rain pouring down. They couldn't believe that a flood was only a few minutes away. But the policeman and the fireman and other friends hurried them out to safety. Then it came, about 1 o'clock in the morning, a wall of water full of uprooted trees, broken houses, and dead animals rushed by. In its churning surface was tables and chairs and pianos, old drums, and even cars. It hit the little bridge in the middle of the town and carried it away like it had been made of paper. It overflowed the banks and filled all the low-lying land nearby. Some of the houses, which people had left only a few minutes before, were lifted off their foundation and sent sailing downstream. Others simply collapsed and fell apart and were carried away. But by this time, hundreds of people were standing on the high banks near the river, peering through the darkness in at the terrifying scene before them. How glad they were that there was nobody in those houses that were being smashed and carried away by the flood. Nobody? "Look," cried someone, pointing over to the stirring water. "Surely that was a light over there. Look." "It can't be," said others. "There's nobody there. And there's no light anyway." But there it was again. "Look, it must be a candle. Someone kept lighting it and blows it out." "So it is. You're right. Whose house is it?" "That's Mrs. Smith's house. Her husband is in the army, and she had 4 children with her. Nobody? Didn't anyone warn them?" "No, nobody did. Somehow in the darkness, the excitement, that house had been missed. Now it was surrounded by wild rushing water, which threatened any moment to carry it away. "Give me a rope," cried one brave soul. "I'll swim over there." They tied a rope around the man and he set off, but he could not get anywhere near. It was impossible. The swift current carried him away, and it was only with great difficulty that they hauled him back. Another man offered to go, but he also failed. And the third attempted, but exhausted, he gave up. Meanwhile, over there in the darkness, a brave mother was making a gallant fight for life and the life of her children. As no one had called to warn her of the coming flood, she and her children were all fast asleep. When the first rush of water came sweeping into the house, awakened by the shouts and the roar of the flood waters going by, she jumped out of bed and found herself standing in 2 feet of water, which covered the bedroom floor and was rising fast. Suddenly realizing what had happened, she grabbed her 4 children and lifted them one by one to the top of a large cupboard. Then, as the water rose above the beds, the tables, the chairs, she clambered up on top as well, taking with her a candle, matches, a dry blanket, a bottle of milk, a knife, an old chisel, and of all things, a flat iron. Now they were all huddled together on top of the cupboard, wondering just how high the water would rise. Then it was that this dear, brave mother began to pray that God would spare her and her children, and if not, let them die together. An hour passed by, 2 hours, and it was now 3 o'clock in the morning, and they could feel the water close to the top of the cupboard. Suddenly, one of the inside walls of the house gave way and fell with a great splash. The end must be near, this brave mother said to herself, but she was not ready to give up yet. Now it was that she had to make use of these tools that she was wisely brought with her, thinking that she might have some use for them. Just over their heads was a ceiling made of thin boards. If she could just cut through it, then we would have another 2 feet above the water. Seizing the flat iron and blunt chisel, she began chipping away at the boards, splitting it off little piece at a time, until she had a hole 2 feet long and 9 inches wide in the ceiling. One by one, telling each of her children to sit astride a rafter, she pushed them up through the hole. She was afraid that they might fall through the frail board if they were to stand on it. Then she pulled herself up through the hole and sat with them, waiting, wondering, praying, while below the water stirred through the house. 4 o'clock came. 5 o'clock came, 6 o'clock, and it was getting light. Now, and what a scene. The great brown torrent was still stirring by, with bits of broken houses and furniture floating in the surface. Hundreds of people who had watched all night were looking anxiously at the one little house still standing in the midst of the flood. Only its roof could be seen now, with the tops of some of the windows. Surely somebody in it must have drowned long ago. But no, as they look, they see something and somebody cutting a hole in the roof. The brave little mother is making her last attempt to save her children. She apparently is going to lift them out onto the roof if need be. A shout goes up from the people. Tears come from their eyes, but the little family is still in grave danger. At any moment, the house could begin to come apart under the pressure of the stirring water. "Let me try again," says a strong swimmer. "I think I can make it now." He tied a rope around his waist, and he set off through the raging water. He is swept downstream, but he fights and his way back up again. At last, after a mighty effort, he reaches the house. Another shout goes out from the people anxiously, watching the banks, as he has got to them in time. The family may be saved. Tying the rope securely, he makes his way through a window. A large cupboard on which the family was waiting is long, so long, and by which they are climbed into the loft is gone. He signs back for a ladder. Soon another swimmer, aided by the rope, is on his way with one. Another swimmer follows. Soon one of them is seen coming from the house with a little girl on his shoulders. Another mighty cheer rends the morning air. Then another and another, and one by one they brought by strong hands along the rope, strained to the utmost by the fury of the torrent. Then, as all brave captains are the last to leave the sinking ship, so the dear mother is the last to leave her falling house. Then all 4 children have been taken to safety. She comes out herself, and with the help of the rescuers, makes her way to land. What a cheer the people gave to her, and she deserved it, that brave little mother. I hope her children never forget how they were saved from the death of the dreadful night. It was the mother's faith
against the flood. You can go after your parents. I believe this picture paints exactly what God designed us to be as a community, as a body. I'd like to read Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done in selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above all names. That is the name of Christ, that is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is community? Community is a fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Community is not the purpose. Community is a goal. And community in itself has goals. A feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Let's look back over this story for a little bit. Just quickly capsulize it. First of all, I think everyone can put themselves at a different place in this story. They can become a different person in this story, and I think that's the beauty of stories. Because a story is more than just a story. It has a purpose. And it has aspects to it that change it, depending where you are in life. The first thing I thought of was the watchman. He was a police officer, right? What was his call? What is the call of a police officer? It's to protect and to serve. And in this community, I believe that we have that. God, through this community, has called four men to serve as watchmen, to stand guard, to warn this community of imminent danger, and to serve. And he was given a message. This watchman was in his position. He was in where he belonged, and he was given a message. He was connected to a reliable source. And then he sounded the alarm. And the flood, this community was lying directly in the harm's way. And it was coming quickly, and it was going to destroy. Look at some of the people. Everyone was asleep. But as soon as the alarm was sounded, there was some that hurried to warn and help the others in danger. Others didn't want to move. You know, it was too cold, it was dark. It was going to require discomfort. And they had to leave things behind. They didn't actually even believe that there was a flood a couple minutes away. But I think this is the part that really stuck out to me too, is that friends hurried them to safety. It says friends hurried them to safety. Do we value each other enough to wake each other from our sleep? To urge each other to safety? For me, sometimes I just, maybe I don't care enough. Maybe I'm more self-sustaining. Sometimes it feels like I'm like, hey, they built their house next to the river. You know? If the flood comes, they're going to pay the consequences. But do we love each other enough to go to them, to urge them, to hurry them to safety? I think that's what we're called to do. I think Matthew 18 shows us how to do that. And then there was one house that was missed. This is a reality. This happens. And this happens in our church too. You know? How does this happen? Well, in the darkness somehow, the excitement, everything that's going on, they're so busy, they were trying to take care of their own problems. They missed the family that was in big need. These townspeople could have said, well, we really messed up this time, but you can't save them all. And they could have just stood there. No, they didn't do that. There's real struggle among us, and are we willing to dive into that river? And are we willing to fight the current and be different? Be the one to make the move towards the people that are hurting. I think we're called to that. Can we break down our polished walls of pride and selfishness, I guess you could say? Is that what keeps us from speaking to each other? I think so. If we don't know the need, if we can't hear the need, we don't understand how to help. But if we can break down our pride and say, you know what, I'm struggling right now. I really could use a hand. Then the community can come and you can help. You know, light that candle. That's all she did. She lit a candle and they saw it. And I just want to bless each of you today, because I believe that this caring and this swimming against the current, I believe it's happening. I believe that there are people in this church that have the gift to see people that are hurting. And I just want to bless you in doing that and continue to do that. But we can't just stop and say we're doing our best. We need to keep trying and keep looking for people that we can help and care for. And I say this again, what was the purpose of this story? Was the purpose of this story to love the people and to build a strong community and to show what it means to have community? No. That was a great goal and they did an awesome job at it. But the purpose of this story was to bring glory to God. Matthew 6, verse 1 says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will not have reward from your Father." So why do I say that? Because if we do good things for the wrong purpose, we might as well not do them. And the last thing I want to look at this morning is modesty. So what is the purpose of modesty? What about modesty with purpose? And I found this quote, and I was really blessed by it. I don't even know how to say the guy's name, but it's Nell Sanukjian or something like that. So I'll read this to you, and you can read with me. "Appearance and action reflects the life we live. We present ourselves to the world based on our self-perception and aspirations." Remember the word aspirations? I put this definition down before I read this thought on modesty. What is aspirations? Our aspiration, a hope of achievement with a picture of an outcome. We present ourselves to the world based on our self-perception and aspirations. To be modest is to consider what our clothing and our behavior represents. Modesty isn't vain or boastful. It takes more than selfish desire. into consideration and accepts responsibility for the influence of our choices on the lives of others. Modesty is needed in every century and in every culture. So Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, we as men met and had a men's meeting at church. And one of the things we talked about was this. It was modesty. Namely, what we as a community, as brotherhood, agree it should look like. And I think the one thing that we should have talked about as well is its purpose. Because what we talked about is the goals in modesty. We talked about the goals we have for modesty. Okay? And I'm not talking about just the clothes we wear. I am talking about the clothes we wear. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not talking about just the clothes we wear. I believe we need to ask ourselves some of these hard questions. So God can show us the purpose of our choices. Not the goals of our choices, but the purpose. And stick with me for a second and see if you can follow this. And I think one of those hard questions that we need to ask ourselves is this. Are we, as men and women, drawing attention to glorify ourselves with our clothing that we wear for the purpose of getting approval from the people around us? Are we, as men and women, drawing attention or glorifying ourselves with the clothes that we wear for the purpose of getting approval from the people around us? Secondly, what about our lifestyles? What is the purpose behind the things that we buy and the things that we build? This is modesty. What is the purpose behind the way that we communicate with each other? You know, our conversations, the things that we post online. What is the purpose? Is it to glorify ourselves? Is it to get approval from the people around us? This is modesty. The reality is the culture that we are being influenced by cares nothing at all about community or unity. This world is driven by independence and self-love. So which world are we a part of? I think we need to ask ourselves these hard questions. I think the reason that the world doesn't ask these questions is because they don't want to hear the answer. And why don't we ask these questions? I think the answer is the same. I heard a message a little while ago, and this message was about the gospel and how it's being watered down to fit more sinners. It's more tolerable. And that's what we're facing right now in our churches, in the U.S. especially. So this is the message that we're being told. This is the gospel that's being preached. You say to an unbeliever, "Do you know that God loves you and that He has a wonderful plan for your life?" And the man says, "What? God loves me? That's fantastic. I love me too. And He says He has a wonderful plan for my life? That's great. I do too." It's funny, but it's not. This gospel tells people that God's purpose is to love us. So I asked a question. We looked at Christmas, and we looked at community, and now we looked at modesty, just briefly. What do these three things have in common? Community. What is the goal for community? The goal for community is that I want to love as Christ loved. Right? That's a goal. What is the goal for Christmas? The goal for Christmas is that I want to remember what Christ sacrificed for me. What is the goal for modesty? Is the goal for modesty, I don't want to tempt others to fall into sin? Yeah, that's a good goal. Is that the purpose? Absolutely not. And we ask the question, is modesty for men? Is the reason that we ask our women to dress modestly, is it for the men? That's a goal. It's not the purpose. You see, all of these things have the same purpose. And this needs to be the motivation of our goals. The purpose is to take the glory off of ourselves and directly give the glory to God. So I asked myself this question this morning. What's the purpose of this message? For some reason, we've been given more time here. And my hope is that somehow I could encourage each of us. And I'm not talking just to use all this stuff is stepping on my toes too. My hope is that I can encourage each of us to all ask those hard questions. And second, to go. To jump into that cold water and fight against the current. And to make a difference. And to love and challenge and care for each other. But to do all that for a purpose. And that's to give in direct glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and God, I thank you for this message that you've laid on my heart. God, I ask that you would speak to the hearts of each person that's here, and for each person that's listening, I'm online as well. God, I ask that you would use your message to change our hearts, and help us to realize the importance of what you did on the cross, and to be thankful for it. And Lord, to live our lives out of that praise for you. God, I thank you for the blessing of community that we have around us. And the blessing of brothers and sisters to encourage and to love and to challenge each other. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to say no to ourselves and say yes to you. And help us, Lord, to do that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.